Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Baseball, America's game.
One of the most dramatic moments in the history of sports.
It's about connection.
Leaps and makes the catch up against the wall.
And now, with Apple TV Plus, Friday Night Baseball.
She is gone.
Comes home.
Is this happening? It is.
Friday Night Baseball, streaming on Apple TV Plus.
Back in studio for the Hump Show and actually not traveling again for quite a while. But it was good to take the show on the road. I heard from so many of you who enjoyed our shows from Green Bay, which is awesome. I'm glad because we put a lot of effort into them. And it was a lot of work just between being on site at a game, trying to keep up with all my notes and everything that was happening in football. And then making sure that we were all, you know, physically, digitally connected to do the show. And then Jay and I coordinating is a little bit more challenging when we are not in the same place. We will be in the same place when it comes to Super Bowl week. I'm going to say that at least once a week throughout the NFL season. For the first time since Miami in 2012, it was early 2020, but it was the 2019 season. We will be taking the show on the road to the Super Bowl. So Arizona, here we come. That's down the road, obviously, but it's good to practice. And I love to take after hours into our various cities where we have affiliates. And once again, my thanks to Jimmy, who's the program director at the Green Bay affiliate where I did the show. And as I told you, there was nobody else in the building last night. When I left on Tuesday morning to go back to my uncle's, grab my stuff and go to the airport, there was still no one in the building. So it's a little bit eerie just because not all the lights are on. And I told you about how dark it was around the building. But they were very kind to just trust me and let me come and go and not worry about me blowing anything up. And so the last thing I got from Jimmy when I told him thank you, this is before I flew out of Appleton, Wisconsin on Tuesday morning. So glad it was able to work out and you got to spend the time with us and your fam. Stay in touch. Hope to see you again soon. Go Pack, go. Oh, yes. That's a part of every greeting from every Wisconsin family member that I have. Go Pack, go. Or let's go Packers or something along those lines. You are born into it. You don't get to be the fan of another team if you are a true Wisconsinite. It doesn't happen that way. You might be excommunicated.
It's just not going to happen, man.
It's just not going to happen, man. Even if you don't like Aaron Rodgers' haircut, which my uncle is determined is the reason why they've played so poorly.
Pretty nice.
In 7 of their 8 quarters. Well, offensively, let's not blame the defense or blame Aaron's haircut for the defense. So it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence back inside the CBS Sports Radio headquarters. Jay and I are reunited and we're sharing snacks. So we've done goldfish, we've done popcorn. Now we've got a Nature Valley sweet and salty nut bar. This came from Wisconsin. My aunt gave this to me for breakfast on Tuesday morning. It's not often that I go 14 hours without a meal, but that was the case on Tuesday. Not only was I wandering around Chicago O'Hare Airport waiting for my connection that got delayed, but I was not paying $10 for a salad that's no bigger than a softball. No, I was not doing it.
On the flight, they were charging $10 for it?
No, that would have been even more, I'm sure. The guy, who even knows what the guy next to me paid for his salami sandwich that actually smelled pretty good, but I fell back asleep after that. It was too expensive, and the place was crawling with people, and I didn't want to stand in line anyway.
Airports are like worse than ballparks with the prices of food.
Yeah, well, and the food is not as good. I think at ballparks, no, you can find real good food. I don't think the food at airports, unless it's an actual restaurant, as opposed to, you know, some little express place. So it was a long stretch. So then I got home, from the airport, had to hit rush hour traffic around New York. So got home from the airport and I was so hungry. All I had that I could make quickly was pasta, right? So I throw penne and elbows because I didn't have enough penne for a whole meal. I throw penne and elbows into a pot. I go ahead and I grab my favorite pasta sauce. I douse them with pasta sauce, and before I can even sit down, I couldn't even stand it. I started eating. I'm eating at the kitchen counter because I was so hungry. I was shoveling them. It was very unattractive and very unladylike, and I am glad there was no one there to see it. But man, I was hungry. So that was the saving grace, was getting home and being able to have some pasta. And then a bit of a nap, but it's just, it's not enough. So if I have, you know, just tangents and I wander, my mind wanders, my stories wander, I forget what I was talking about on this edition of the show, please excuse me and just nod and smile and promise you'll listen when I'm not deliriously tired. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. You need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family. Rocket can. The big headline from Tuesday night, Aaron Judge belts home run number 60 in what was a ninth inning that appeared to be the Yankees playing out the string until it wasn't. Do you know the Yankees entered the game 0 for 113? As in, they had lost 113 games in which they trailed by four runs or more in the ninth inning. This goes back to 2017. That's how long the streak. And this is a really good Yankees team. They made playoffs. They've had high aspirations. Nah, first time in 114 tries going back 5 years that they're able to rally in the ninth inning after trailing by at least four runs.
Swung on, drilled to deep left. That ball is going to be gone. A grand slam to win the game. A no one out, bases loaded, grand slam, bottom of the ninth. And the Yankees have come back in the ninth inning with five runs to win the game 9-8. Stanton finally delivered a bullet line drive in the left field seats. Giancarlo Nonci Postobarlo, a Stantonian home run, a bullet line drive in the left field seats. What an inning.
And you know what's crazy? And maybe if you don't hear a lot of John Sterling home run calls, you may not have noted this right away. That ball off Giancarlo Stanton's bat was in fact a bullet. So he termed it correctly there at the end. We were watching it a couple times. It barely got off the ground. I'm not sure it ever went higher than, say, 12 feet. It barely cleared the wall in left field. And so it was such a laser that John Sterling didn't have a chance to do his, it is high, it is far.
It is far.
Oh, yeah, that one. Anyway, he didn't have a chance because the ball was out before he could do that. So all he could say was the ball got belted, which it in fact did. And so for the first time in 114 tries, 114 games, when the Yankees were trailing by four or more runs in the ninth inning, they rally for the win. And Jay just said to me, but I expressed it earlier, can you imagine leaving early to beat traffic? To beat the crowds at the train, the subway. You left early. You missed history with home run number 60. And then you missed a walk-off. No. Never leave early.
I saw empty seats watching that game behind the plate. There was definitely, I mean, look at the amount of people were still there, even they were down four runs. But there was a lot of people who did leave that game. And that's on you. That's a bad job because you knew Aaron Judge was getting up. And what else are you doing there?
How many people do you think left the Browns-Jets game early on Sunday? With a minute 55 to go and Nick Chubb scoring his third touchdown. I know Cade York missed the extra point, but they were still up 13. Again, we're talking about 20-plus years since a team has rallied from two touchdowns behind in the final 2 minutes. How many people do you think bolted for the exits as soon as that happened?
I would guess a bunch. Right after Chubb scores that touchdown, you think, okay, this is over. Let's wrap it up. Get out of here. Beat the crowd. Beat the traffic.
Let's try. Right.
Get back to the car, turn on the radio.
Right. I'm trying to think of the other games. I don't know how many people would have left Baltimore early, because even though the Ravens were up huge, Lamar Jackson scored on a 79-yard TD run, the longest of his career. I mean, there's a lot of excitement there. And so I don't know how many people would have left that one early, because the comeback started early in the fourth quarter, right?
There was too much time.
Yeah, exactly. So unless you've got someplace to go, you're probably not leaving that game early. And the comeback started, and it was fast and furious. And so before you know it, the Dolphins are within striking distance. But the stark rally by the Jets, to me, that one probably was done in front of fewer fans, because I would guess there are a bunch of people who left the dog pound early. Don't blame Brownie the Elf, or Elfie. Wait, what's his name? I forgot. Is it Brownie the Elf?
I think it's Brownie.
Brownie the Elf? It's not Brownie Elfie? It's not Elfie Brownie?
Bad luck Elf.
It's bad luck. There's no such thing as bad luck based on a logo on a field. Stop it. Just like you don't get bad karma because as a hitter, you might run over the pitcher's mound. I know that's taboo and it is the cardinal sin, but it doesn't bring you bad luck.
Don't step on the line either.
Okay. That's why I can't have these conversations with Producer Jay, because he's all
can't
about juju and mojo and jinxes, and I don't believe in any of that garbage. None of it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or our Facebook page. By the way, I just want to say it again before we move on, and we will. And actually, we want to bring back part of our conversation with Ross Tucker, who was doing the Westwood One broadcast of Monday Night Football from Orchard Park, New York. So the Bills, who have appeared to, at this point, let me put the caveat on it. It's week two. They've appeared to be the most dominant team in the NFL, and they actually have the 2-0 record to prove it, right? So they've looked dominant. I would give you that the Dolphins have made some really impressive statements in their wins. Now, they blew out the Patriots, but obviously got behind to the Ravens. What was it, 23-actually, I think the Raiders were up 23-7 in the fourth quarter. But the Ravens were still up by three touchdowns in the second half. And so they fell behind in that situation. But yes, they were, I mean, ultra impressive in that fourth quarter. Do you know in the fourth quarter, Tua Tagovailoa had 199 passing yards in that quarter alone, 13 for 17 and four touchdowns. I mean, what are you doing, Ravens defense? And I've said over and over they were gassed, and so the offense did them no favors. This is why football's a team sport, because if the offense manages to keep possession of that ball for, say, 4 minutes longer in the quarter, the comeback doesn't happen. So I'll make note of this, because I feel like this is a great example. The Steelers and Patriots were playing in a pretty tight affair, not a glorious offensive display by any means. And you know what the Patriots did to secure that win? On the road, they kept the ball the final 6.5 minutes. They never gave it back to the Steelers. And whether or not you think Mitch Trubisky and the Steelers' offense is anything to write home about, why bother giving the ball back to them? You never. Joe Flacco's offense isn't anything to get excited about either, right? Sometimes I wonder if the man has a pulse. Well, we know he does now. I'm just teasing. I tease about Joe Flacco to emphasize the point that the Jets never should have come back in that game. But whether or not you believe in the Steelers' offense, why give them the ball? You cannot score the majority of the time if you don't have the ball. Well, you can't score ever if you don't have the ball. But, I mean, they could have forced a turnover potentially. And there's always the chance there's going to be a defensive touchdown. But those are rarer. So why in the hell would you want the ball to go back to them? So that's what you do. That's how you preserve a win as an offense. You don't give the ball back to the other team. Isn't that the strategy we've seen for years with Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning? Don't give them the ball. They can't hurt you when they're standing on the sidelines fidgeting because they don't have an opportunity to go out there with the ball in their hand.
We don't have time for that.
I think that's the best way, is keep away. So there's plenty of blame to go around with the Ravens because they gave the ball right back to Tua so many times. But among the 2-0 teams, and there are six of them, the Bills have definitely looked dominant. The Dolphins have dominated in stretches. The Chiefs have also looked really impressive. But I still say that AFC West division is going to be one in which they batter and bruise each other. So nobody's going to come out unscathed in the AFC West. Ooh, what a good word. Try to come up with a better word than unscathed right now. Scalding would be another good word. Can we use scalding in a sentence? No.
I like unscathed.
You do?
That's a good one. That was a good choice.
All right. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 2-0, and they've looked brutal on offense. The Eagles have looked pretty impressive in going 2-0. I'll give them that as well. So those are probably the top two. So anyway, who says that on the radio? So anyways, anyway, isn't that Lizzo? That's a Lizzo moment in one of her song about damn time, I think, because it's on my running playlist. See, this is what's going to happen. Things are going to pop in my brain, and my spaghetti plate brain is in full effect tonight.
But anyways.
So anyway, it's one of those phrases that people utter when it's very awkward. Anyway.
Anyways.
Not that fast, though. That's even more awkward. So coming up, part of my conversation, I say so a lot, part of my conversation with Ross Tucker, who was doing the game between the Bills and the Don't Tell Me Titans on Monday night in Orchard Park. And we're not going to talk necessarily about that game as much because we talked about that one plenty. But there were a couple of key points that I think he made, and one that's going to spark our question on this edition of the show, our show question on this edition of After Hours. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, always good to hear from you. And on our Facebook page, too, you're sending your questions for you're sending your questions for Ask Amy Anything. I have to give Jay credit. He's not laughing at me even when I say stupid stuff. I mean, earlier he was shaking his head at me like he was my grandmother or something, shaking his head at me. Like he was disapprovingly shaking his head at me. You're so disappointed at what just came out of my mouth. You just shook your head again, although you're smiling now. So, but earlier you just, it was that like straight line with the mouth. I just.
Very stern.
Yes, very stern.
Angry.
Scalding look.
Scalding
did it.
Look.
I did it.
Nicely done.
All right. So send your questions for Ask Amy a little bit with Ross Tucker to spark our question, which I actually think Jay and I were debating this earlier. So I hope.
Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ready to improve your bottom line? The Room can match you with a top financial analyst. Trusted by small businesses, startups, and entrepreneurs, The Room's virtual financial analysts are highly trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Drive business growth with a virtual financial analyst from The Room. It's like listening to all the financial podcasts rolled into one. Get started today at trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hope you have fun with it. We're hanging out on a hump show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Josh will take another shotgun snap. Takes the handoff, going to throw it.
Looks downfield, fires downfield, looking for Diggs inside the five, dives for it, makes the catch, and it is caught. Touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs. Touchdown, Bills. A 46-yard completion.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That was a ball that traveled 50 yards through the air. Josh Allen dropped back, and even though it was officially a 46-yard touchdown, by the time he dropped back and heaved the football, and it dropped in perfectly to one Stephon Diggs in the end zone, it had traveled over 50 yards in the air. The connection between the two is now multiple seasons and multiple off seasons of work, and it's dangerous, it is powerful, and so it's a lot of fun to watch those two work. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. John Murphy is the voice of the Buffalo Bills radio network. And after that game, Ross Tucker, who was the national analyst on Westwood One, joined us as he was driving home from Orchard Park. And so it was cool to be able to snag a couple of minutes with him. He spent time in Buffalo as an NFL offensive lineman, and he speaks very highly of the Bills and their fans. But I'm bring back part of that conversation and pick it up where I was asking him about some of the more dangerous quarterback wide receiver combos in the league with the way Josh finds Stephon and the way Stephon knows what to do with that football. They've got to be right up there.
Yeah, and if you think about it, with Tyreek Hill leaving Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City and Devontae Adams leaving Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, I'm not sure there's a better one out there. I'm not sure there's a better quarterback receiver combo than Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs right now. I mean, they were masterful tonight in every way. It felt like it was just easy for them out there.
So then what do you do? If you're a defense, how do you begin to disrupt their rhythm or get to Josh Allen to force him into situations where he's not comfortable?
Well, what I think people want to do is they want to play two deep safeties and force the Bills to either run the ball or throw the ball underneath, especially when the Bills have Gabe Davis, who didn't play tonight. That's what they want to do. But, you know, the difference between the Bills this year and other years, I think, is Josh Allen is way more comfortable being patient, and he's very natural getting the ball out of his hands quickly. You know, I don't know that I ever thought he'd be the type of quarterback that just spraying the ball around. I think their first touchdown drive, it was six different receivers, which is amazing.
Right.
And he's doing it super, super quickly, getting rid of the ball, which is always, in my mind, a great sign for a quarterback that knows what the heck they're doing.
So, Ross, I got to ask you about a post I saw on your Twitter. And I know that you have extra insight. You're an expert when it comes to these things, but Bills versus Eagles Super Bowl confirmed? Really? After 2 weeks? You're good with that?
Yeah, well, you know, those are the two teams that I kind of have a thing for, you know? the Bills were the team that I had the best experience with as a player and I enjoyed the most, and they've never won it. And then, obviously, I grew up outside of Philadelphia. I do the Eagles preseason games on TV. Most of the time I do their pregame on the radio unless I have another game. So, you know, I'm just having some fun. Although right now, you know, I'm not sure. I certainly wouldn't pick anyone over the Bills in the AFC. And I'm not really sure how many I would pick over the Eagles in the NFC right now. I think there's a decent, you know, there's some percentage chance that actually happens. Obviously, it's really early, and it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. But that's what's fun. It's fun to say something like that and get all the Eagles and Bills fans excited and the fans of the other teams all upset as if I'm, like, totally serious.
From what you've seen of the Eagles so far, why are they so dangerous?
Well, you know, similarly to the Bills, they just have a really good roster. I mean, the only real question for the Philadelphia Eagles right now is probably their quarterback, and Jalen Hurts just played the best game of his career. You know, so if your biggest question, the guy just went, whatever it was, 26-31, you know, passing touchdown, a couple rushing touchdowns, in prime time, you know, in a big spot, that just bodes extremely well. I do a lot of talk radio in Philadelphia, and the main two questions all off season and certainly even after week one are Jalen Hurts, the quarterback, and Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator. And I'm not sure either one of them could have had a much better night. You know, they really held the Vikings in check. Three interceptions of Cousins, 7 points, and then obviously, as discussed, Hurts had the game of his life. And it's not just the stats, and we know he can run. It's the ball placement. It's how fast the ball's coming out. It's him not making critical errors. It's him seemingly being in total control. It was a really impressive performance by Hurts. That if that continues, I think my tweet has a real good chance of happening.
Well, then why the questions about him, Ross? What are the questions about Jalen?
I think the biggest question is just consistency, throwing the ball from the pocket with accuracy, right? Everybody knows he can run. Everybody knows he can throw on the move. The question will be, you know, how fast is he getting the ball out? And can he consistently make the throws that are necessary in the small windows on second, third and long, those type of situations? And so far this year, he's really been up to the task. Probably did it more with his legs against the Lions, but part of that's because they were blitzing, and he made a number of tremendous throws to A.J. Brown against Detroit. And then tonight, it was more to Devontae Smith, but he spread it around pretty well. I mean, he's 2 for 2. You know, every week is sort of a referendum on whether or not he's the long-term answer in Philadelphia, whether or not they're going to give him a new contract. And out of the 17 regular season chances he'll get, he's definitely 2 for 2.
Now, let me ask you this. We put a poll up, and it's getting a ton of traffic, as you can imagine, because misery loves company among NFL fans. We asked which fan base or which team should be the most mortified on Monday following its performance on Sunday week 2. Now, we gave the fans options of the Colts, who got skunked by the Jaguars, the Browns, who gave up a 2-touchdown lead in 2 minutes and lost to the Jets, the Raiders, who lose in overtime at home to the Cardinals despite having a 3-touchdown lead, and then the Ravens, who give up 6 touchdowns to Tua, including 4 in the fourth quarter. Which team should be most mortified as they wrap week 2 and look ahead to week 3?
It's the Colts. You know, the other 3 teams, obviously, you're extremely disappointed with the critical errors they made late in those games to lose those games. But at least they've been in the games. At least Cleveland and Baltimore has wins, and they're right there in the mix in the AFC North. If you're a Colts fan right now, I mean, you're really questioning a lot of things. You're questioning Matt Ryan. You're questioning Frank Reich. You might even be questioning the general manager. I mean, there's a lot of thoughts going through your head if you're a Colts fan after they were very, very fortunate to come back and tie the Texans and then 24-0 to the Jaguars.
Ew.
Rough. Absolutely rough.
Yes, for sure. All right, before we let you go, Ross, what's one other NFL headline, storyline, maybe a particular game that is burning a hole in your pocket or something like that that's sticking with you after week number 2?
Honestly, I think it's Nathaniel Hackett, Amy. You know, I know they won the game against the Texans, but it might be the worst 2-game start for a head coach that I can recall.
Man.
You know, I mean, you got the home crowd calling out the play clock so that you don't get more delay of games or waste more timeouts. The play calling on the goal line and short yardage. I mean, you want to talk about abysmal. It is real, real bad for Nathaniel Hackett. And, okay, you know, maybe they'll improve, whatever. I guess my question would be, what are the odds a guy that looks this inept to start his career, what are the odds he becomes a really good coach? I mean, he might end up becoming okay, but it seems hard in my mind to start out absolutely dreadful and get to the point where people think you're an excellent coach. I mean, it could be one and done for Nathaniel Hackett because this ownership group isn't even the ones that hired him.
True. Good point. Although it blows me away. He was an offensive coordinator for years in the league. It's not like he just got into the NFL yesterday. I don't understand how you, is it just that much of a jarring leap to be the one who's actually in charge of everything?
It's a totally different job. You know, all he's ever had to care about was calling the play or designing the offense. He's never had to be the game management guy or the clock manager. And he's obviously overwhelmed. Whatever processes he's put in place clearly aren't good enough. And it's honestly, I have buddies that are Broncos fans. It's embarrassing. I mean, it was legitimately embarrassing these first two games. I guess the good news is they won a game and it can only get better from here.
Yeah. All right. You take that and you run with it. Ross Tucker, if you want to find him on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL or RossTucker.com for his various ventures. It's always good to catch up with you. Thank you so much for a couple minutes.
My pleasure, Amy. Thank you so much for having me. You know I'm a big fan of the show.
So that was part of my conversation with Ross. And the reason I bring it back is twofold, because we hit some of the big storylines and some of the teams that are 2-0. But also, it struck me as I was thinking about the show and where I wanted to go tonight, but also some of the themes in week number two. It is not easy to be an NFL head coach, right? It's not easy to do the job. And not only are you responsible for everything, the buck stops with you, media responsibilities. A lot of coaches talk about how that weighs heavily on them because you're the one who is essentially the face and the voice of the franchise along with the quarterback. And we know the shelf life for coaches is relatively short. Think about a quarter of the league, 25% of the NFL has new head coaches in this season, 2022. How many of them are actually going to survive? Well, we don't know that yet. But we know a bunch of them are brand new, including Nathaniel Hackett, Matt Eberflus. He's another one. Brian Daboll, although the Giants are starting out 2-0, but we can be distracted by shiny objects sometimes, right? We don't know how many of these coaches will survive. Every year there are unmitigated disasters, and you know they're not the right people. And I think more recently, the Urban Meyer hire, bad idea. The Freddie Kitchens hire, bad idea. But the NFL's history is littered with coaches who were either not head coaching material or not ready. Or, in a lot of cases, just the team itself wasn't in a good spot, and the coach becomes the sacrificial lamb. And every week, whether it's the established coaches or whether it's the guys who are new or whether it's veteran coaches who are in new places like Mike McCarthy or Lovie Smith, every week fans pile on, blame the coach, fire the coach. Right now, there's a lot of Frank Reich. So, question tonight, as we go through our hump show, and of course it'll be on our social media all day, in your opinion, who are the best coaches in the NFL? Top three. Who are the best coaches? The ones that you're comfortable giving the benefit of the doubt. You trust them. Your top three most trustworthy NFL head coaches. You trust them. You believe in them. It used to be a thing in Bill We Trust. I'm not sure it is anymore. Is it what have you done for me lately? Is it track record? Is it longevity? Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And yet people still want him to get fired every single week. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, producer Jay will put a post up and we'll retweet.
I don't fear sudden death.
I don't either. Well, that's not true. I do actually fear it. It gives me tension in my gut. Hockey's back soon, you know that. Nathan MacKinnon, now the NHL's richest, fattest contract ever. Plus, I saw that both P.K. Subban and Zdeno Chara are retiring, too. Not Joe Thornton, though. 43, looking for a new team. Please. He's my favorite. All right. So
Why are you so pissy, Leon?
Twitter and Facebook. You can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, which is an hour from now. And who are the top three most trustworthy NFL head coaches? In other words, if you could get one of these guys as your head coach today, you would trade. Whoever you had, you'd trade it right now. It's brutal and it's ruthless. That's coaching.
You are listening to the
Baseball, America's game.
Of the most dramatic moments in the history of sports.
It's about connection.
Blitz and makes the catch up against the wall.
And now, with Apple TV Plus, Friday Night Baseball.
She is gone.
Comes home. Friday Night Baseball, streaming on Apple TV+.
Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ready to improve your bottom line? The Room can match you with a top financial analyst. Trusted by small businesses, startups, and entrepreneurs, The Room's virtual financial analysts are highly trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Drive business growth with a virtual financial analyst from The Room. It's like listening to all the financial podcasts rolled into one. Get started today at trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Walter's in Maryland. Hi, Walter.
Well, hello, pretty lady. How you doing?
Great.
Amy, you represent class, intelligence, and personality, and that's everything I want in a talk show host.
You got the whole Cameron Diaz thing going on.
You're beautiful, girl. You're on television. I'm thinking, wow, she's on radio? What the hell is she doing on radio?
I don't want to do TV. There's not enough airtime for me. They only gave me 5 minutes on CBS this morning. I was like, hey, where's my radio show? I got more to say.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Okay, you guys are gonna laugh at me. Producer Jay just got hit. Are these Apple? These are Apple, right?
Correct.
There's just so many reasons why I don't use Apple products. Producer Jay just got me his Apple headphones, not his earbuds, because we can't use those, obviously, here. Because there's no Bluetooth in our studio from 1972. But I don't know how these go in my ear. Am I wearing them backwards?
So the one side you'll see, like, that volume thing, go what? Reach down on the...
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be the right.
So it's the opposite of my Skull Candy.
Yeah.
So I use Skull Candy headphones, and then I put the Apple headphones in the same way, thinking it was right, and it's not, because they don't feel correct. Hold on.
Flip them around.
I can do this. Oh, okay.
I think that should
be the trick. That feels a lot different.
There we go.
Okay. Well, yes, it definitely makes a difference when I can hear myself in both ears. I know it sounds odd. Just take my word for it. It's a media thing, TV and radio. And actually, a lot of people in TV, they only wear a headphone or an earbud in one ear, and it's kind of tucked in behind their hair or down below their collar or runs down their back because you don't want to see it, or producers don't want you to see it when they're on the air. But in radio, it doesn't matter. So I wear two earbuds rather than the type of headphones that go over your ears that look as though you're piloting a plane. Yeah, I can't do that. It drowns out too much audio, and I can't just pull one of the ears out. It's all this vernacular shop talk. Sorry. So not interesting. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Do you want to know what struck me on Tuesday, about flying home? Something has never happened to me. No, it's actually really neat.
I thought you were talking about an object.
Oh, no. You mean physically struck me?
Struck you.
No, I think it was a significant moment that struck me as I was getting on my plane in Appleton. We're already delayed. It was a big disaster. There were thunderstorms. My uncle sends me a text. Well, it's sunny over here, so I'm going for a bike ride. Oh, great. Thank you, Uncle Tom. I appreciate that. For the first time in my entire life, and I've done a lot of flying. In fact, I remember being on a plane for the first time ever when I was 4 years old. I can still remember it. It was back when your parents could walk you up to the plane and hand you off to a flight attendant. And the flight attendant would give you wings and would sit you in the front in first class and would watch you the entire time. Yeah, that doesn't happen anymore. There could be special exceptions. But I remember being on a plane because my parents were divorced very early in my life. And so we would fly back and forth to visit my father. Anyway, so I've been flying since I was 4 years old. Never one time have I had a female pilot, like a female captain. I've never had a female captain before until today, or Tuesday, sorry. It was really neat. It struck me. And at first, you know, when the crew shows up, I just assumed, because I was wrong, but I assumed, you know what happens when you assume, that she was a member of the flight attendant staff. But then I realized on this plane, which is a relatively small jet that goes back and forth from Chicago to Appleton, there's only one flight attendant. And generally it's a younger flight attendant who's earlier in her career. This woman was older than me, maybe in her 60s. And she was the captain. She was the lead pilot. It was really cool. She's the one that spoke to us over the PA. First time ever that I've been in a plane that was piloted by a female captain. I wanted the chance to say how cool it was to her, but she was still in the cockpit when we landed and walked off the plane. And so I didn't have a chance, but I was actually blown away by that. I thought that was really neat.
Yeah, that is awesome. So actually, when I flew to Belgium a couple months ago, on the way home, on the return trip, I don't think she was the captain because she wasn't the one doing the voice on the intercom. Mm-hmm. But when I was leaving the plane.
She was the first mate?
I think so, because when I was leaving the plane, I noticed a woman who must have been like a pilot or something, because she was in the cockpit area, like standing there, like saying, you know, thank you for flying with us.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, oh, wow, that's so cool. I don't think I had ever had a female pilot either. But I don't think she was the main pilot because, again, mm-hmm. she wasn't on the intercom or anything, the captain. But yeah, she was definitely in the cockpit. I had noticed it too. It was really cool.
That is cool. I think that's amazing. And I know that a lot of these airlines do run special programs in training and education, recruitment to try to get females as captains and as pilots. And so this is the first time I've ever seen it. But I really did want to speak to her and I didn't have the chance. But I think that was awesome. She obviously isn't a first timer. I mean, the woman was older. I just had not ever encountered that before. So I thought that was really cool. Coming up after the top of the hour, an extended edition of QB News. But in the interim, producer Jay, who are the best coaches in the NFL right now? The top three most trustworthy coaches. Don't try to steal mine.
I got to go with my guy, Mike Tomlin.
My guy. I like how you say that. My guy, Mike Tomlin.
I wish he was my guy.
Okay, Mike Tomlin.
It's hard for me not to say Bill Belichick. I mean, I know his team hasn't been the same. You know, there's some questions being raised.
And they made the playoffs last year.
They did. I got to put Bill Belichick on that list all day. And the third one, that's a great question. I mean, there's so
I know.
Many...
Don't you feel like those are the two? And then Sean Payton's gone to the broadcast booth for now, or the broadcast platform for now. I don't know if he's returning. Who else would you put in there?
Has Sean McVay earned that right to be considered among those
most trustworthy?
I mean, he's been to two Super Bowls
and won a ring. And is he still in his 30s? Or is he in his 40s now?
I think.
He's still a wonder boy, a wonderkind. Would you? Are you going Sean McVay in your top three?
Not officially yet. But I got to think of a better one than Sean McVay. I think right now he's... I don't know. That's not a bad answer.
A better one. I got to think of a better answer than Sean McVay. So it's on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. We're asking you, who are the most trustworthy coaches in the NFL? Guys that you would say, yes, I'll let him be in charge of my team today. It's The Hump Show after hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball. America's game. It's about connection.
Lynch makes the catch up against the wall.
And now, with Apple TV Plus, Friday Night Baseball comes home.
Is this happening? It is.
Friday Night Baseball, streaming on Apple TV Plus.
Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Looking for cloud, data, or web help? There's no tech shortage in The Room. The Room is a talent community offering highly skilled, ready-to-work talent when you need it. The Room's tech talent is trained to Silicon Valley standards, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and individually matched to fit your needs. Find top-tier tech talent fast, just like the kind of people who developed this cool streaming app you're on right now. Visit trytheroom.com/tech.
Baseball, America's game.
Of the most dramatic moments in the history of sports.
It's about connection.
Lynch makes the catch up against the wall.
And now, with Apple TV Plus, Friday Night Baseball comes home.
Is this happening? It is.
Friday Night Baseball, streaming on Apple TV Plus.